And welcome in to the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start on this Thursday morning. Joe Rex Road, how we doing?
Doing just fine. I don't really have anything else other to add to that.
Well, that's good.
I'm doing okay, you know? Yeah. It's all right. It's kind of cold out there.
Got your laptop figured out. You got a cursor that will allow you to always be able to see it, thanks to Paul Kuharsky. A lot of good things going on in your life.
Yeah. Boy, that cursor, man. That thing is just – it is massive. But I got to say, he actually did help me navigate. And then Ian started showing me some stuff in the pre-show meeting that's, like, way advanced for me. But
yeah,
maybe someday.
Ian Safar, Paul Kuharsky, member of our IT team.
That's right.
Ian, how are we doing?
Good morning. Yeah, like...
what a coworker you've got.
I forgot Joe mentioned that at the beginning of the show, and I was a little bit confused on what he was trying to discuss, and then I kind of forgot, and anyways, I could have helped him out there. But yeah, doing good, Joe.
So what is that called? So what is that called? That's called...
scroll?
Okay, it's called... not the slider. They call it the scroll.
Yeah, okay. Like the trackpad you got there. Yeah. And to scroll, you just use the two fingers.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the actual web page and hit the down arrow button with the click.
I mean, did you know this?
I mean, yeah, I have never in my life owned a Mac.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously that's not a PC thing. So it's wild to me that just like.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, what if you have really fat fingers, you know? Like
fit two fingers on the trackpad that big, huh?
Well, no,
like
what
Shrek?
No, what I'm saying, Sting. Could be, yeah. But like, if you're a person, if it perceives that, this must be two fingers because it's such a fat finger. You know what I mean? I'm just wondering. I don't know. Like, I'd love to know how
this person is massive. They must have two fingers on this pad.
Like, what does four fingers do? With you know, I mean, I.
Have you tried to find out?
I haven't tried. I'm afraid. But it's an interesting question.
Well, don't worry. We'll call Kuharsky if something breaks.
Yeah.
I'm stunned he figured it out.
I know. It's kind of embarrassing, actually, that he's showing me technical stuff.
Well, if John Glennon ever shows you some technical stuff, that's when you're in serious trouble.
Oh, God. Yeah, on like a Commodore 64.
We got a lot going on the program today. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 is going to be with us at 6:30, live from Stockholm. He is in Sweden with News Channel 5 and covering the Predators and the Penguins in the Global Series. We'll get into some Predators talk with him a little bit later in the hour. Blake Topmeyer from USA Today will be with us at 7:30. We'll get into the college football playoff picture with him. And our man Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock, talking Titans and all things NFL. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexford, a team that we have not talked a ton about so far this week, and that is because they are out of the college football playoff picture. The Tennessee Volunteers are back in action. Now, Tennessee, still with an opportunity here, if they win the remainder of their games, to end up at 9-3, which if you would have told Tennessee fans that before the season... Like, all right, yeah, 9-3.
Yeah.
Give you a shot at the end of the year, and pretty good considering all the changes that took place before the season. You know, this week they're not going to be, I don't think, overly challenged, taking on a New Mexico State team. The last time I checked, Tennessee was a 38.5 point favorite. That has now moved. It is 40.5. So Tennessee is a 40.5 point favorite on Saturday. The question that I guess they're discussing in Knoxville doesn't have much to do with the game itself, except for quarterback. We all know Joey Aguilar looks like his time is wrapping up at Tennessee, barring some other, you know, legal case that I guess you have to keep in mind. But he talked about that earlier this week and kind of what's next for him and said he's going to take a shot at the next level, and we'll see whether or not Joey Aguilar can make that work in the NFL. In the meantime, you're looking, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're like, who's the quarterback next year? Because we've talked about this, Joe. Like, if people hang around and maybe they make some additions in the portal, like they got a chance to be pretty good next year if you're Josh Heupel and Tennessee. So who's going to play quarterback? Right now, it looks like, if you're reading tea leaves here, Jake Merklinger probably going to transfer. That seems to be the general consensus. And the quarterback competition next year will be between George McIntyre, local kid, and Faison Brandon, who is a true freshman, coming in. I would assume they're going to go out and add somebody in the portal. Probably not going to add somebody that's going to come in and be the starter. Could be wrong about that, but that's my guess. So, with that in mind, Joe, what's happening at quarterback on Saturday? Like, if Tennessee, if this goes the way that it normally does under Heupel, and to his credit, he has, generally speaking, handled these teams that he's supposed to handle, and it's 45-3 at halftime, are you going with Jake Merklinger, who has been your backup quarterback all year? Or if you're Heupel, like, do you already have an eye on next year and you're trying to get George McIntyre as many reps as you can get him? How do you think this shakes out on Saturday for the Vols?
That's a good question. And I must give a shout-out to Russell Smith. I go on his show sometimes in Fox or Knoxville radio, and he asked this question. And apparently this is like the hot topic over there. And this is my answer that just came to mind, and I'm sticking with the first instinct on this. To me, my question back would be, if Joey Aguilar got hurt in a big game, who's going in?
Well, to this point this year, it's been Merklinger.
Yeah. Now, let's say it's the Vanderbilt game. I mean, again, it's like you have to play it out like, okay, you may still be doing that just because, yeah, you know, I mean, he should be the two. Like, I don't know what's happened behind the scenes. If you were in a pinch, the Vanderbilt game's tied in the third quarter, Aguilar goes out, do you believe it would be Merklinger?
Yes.
Well, then you got to play Merklinger. Because to me, you know, there's still like, you know, this is all supposed to be a meritocracy, right? And so I don't think it's a good message to your team to be, yeah, I mean, look, I think we all would agree. I'd be shocked if Merklinger's around next year, you know? And again, I don't think that, I mean, that's just how it goes. And honestly, that's kind of, even before all this era, that's kind of, you know, the quarterback room was still heavily kind of like, there's a guy in every class, and eventually, like, the sophomore and the junior are going to, or whatever, the freshman and the sophomore, and then someone's going to transfer. But to me, you still, like, it's, I don't think it's good for a football team if your coach is doing stuff like that and bypassing someone who has earned the spot. If you would lean on him to be your backup to make plays for you in a pinch, and he has been the number two guy in every way behind the scenes, I think it would be I think it's a bad message to your football team to all of a sudden flip that and say, well, let's just get George some snaps.
Well, what I don't know is, I don't know, is anything, it's been a minute since Merklinger's been in there, so has anything changed behind the scenes where McIntyre has surpassed him? I don't know. What
and how would
that is.
Happen even?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you would think that the reps at practice would be pretty limited at that point. So I don't know. I mean, my guess is, if you're going by how they would operate in the Vanderbilt game, if Aguilar went down, it would be Merklinger number two, McIntyre number three. Now, you know, I guess the other part of this is it's a new era of college football, right? And, you know, this didn't get discussed a ton, but when Nico left, one of the things that happened immediately after that was Merklinger got a new NIL deal. Like, the money went up for Jake Merklinger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, his money has gone up, and he's played, I don't know, 17 snaps this year or whatever it is. Like, he hadn't been in there a whole lot. So, like, do you owe it to him? I don't know. Like, it's a kind of a new era in college football that way. My guess is when they're up by a lot on Saturday, Merklinger is going to be the next guy in. What I could see happening is Merklinger's the next guy in, and you leave him in a little bit shorter than you normally would. Like, it would be like Aguilar for a half, Merklinger for the third quarter, and then immediately to McIntyre in the fourth. I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that, trying to get them both in there. And, you know, it's like, I'm not saying there's no value. There is value in being in actual live game action, you know, for George McIntyre. But also, like, does this make or break it,
no,
you know, for next year? No, I don't think so. I mean, he's a true freshman, so he's still got a long way to go, you would think. Huge offseason, huge spring, all that stuff. And then, yeah, then you get Brandon in there, and who knows? And like you said, I mean, it's a really tricky situation trying to bring a veteran in, because what level of veteran are you going to bring in, when you, especially when you have two guys
right.
who are that highly regarded, even though they're very young. But I think they need to try, for sure. But yeah, I don't know how much it really matters. Garbage time against New Mexico State. And meanwhile, for Merklinger, you could say, it's not a bad thing for him. I mean, if he can put some film out there for people, that would be doing him a solid,
Yeah, for sure. And, on the quarterback discussion as a whole for Tennessee, like Aguilar has come in. And by the way, I think Adam Sparks brought this up earlier this week, and I have to go back and look and figure out exactly how far away he is. But there is a kind of an outside chance that Joey Aguilar could break the single-season passing record for Tennessee held by Peyton Manning. I mean, that is on the table for him this year. So
that's wild.
We'll see. Like, does that factor into it at all? Like, if he's on the doorstep of – he's not going to break it this week, obviously, but if you kept him in there for three quarters and he threw for 475 yards, that'd probably go a long way to helping the passing record. Does that matter at all?
But, I mean, he's definitely going to get – two more games after this.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I assume he's – like, how far away is
he? I need to go back and look at Sparks' story. I can't remember exactly how far away he is.
But so he's probably going to get it then, right? I mean, the Vanderbilt in the bowl game, you would think. And Aguilar is not like the dude who's going to be sitting at the bowl game. I mean, Aguilar is a guy who's like, let me put everything I can out there for you and please invite me to some senior bowls.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
There is a thought on the quarterback front that I do wonder if this enters into the discussion at all from Heupel looking ahead to next year. And I want to get your thoughts on that coming up next. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Steve Lehman coming up at 6:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rex Road trying to piss me off early in the morning.
I just
listening to some Shane Beamer during the break.
Well, I'm halfway through a annoyed answer by him. Did you see what he said the other day, though? By the way,
no,
he was. Well, if
you got to win a certain amount of football games for me to continue to pay attention to your press conference.
Oh man, I like.
He has not reached that criteria.
Well, he got asked. He's the offense coordinator thing is obviously big, big talking point at South Carolina. So he was asked about. I guess one of them, Marcus Satterfield, I think, was the OC. But he was like, he put 63 on Tennessee. And then I saw that Zach Reagan from A to Z wrote a piece about it. And it was like, he's still bragging about the thing in which possibly Connor Stallions, whether that happened or not.
Which is also 3 years ago at this point.
Yeah, so. Right, yeah.
Good stuff, Shane.
Speaking of Connor Stallions, congratulations to Michigan State. The NCAA was so mad at Michigan, they've made Michigan State vacate 14 games, including the game that Connor Stallions was on the sideline for, which is absolutely amazing. Michigan State had to vacate that win. But, of course, Michigan State is not fighting back because they're trying to not pay Mel Tucker a dime.
Yes,
no, seriously. Yes. And it's like this helps their fire for cause Mel Tucker thing.
Sure does.
A lot of good stuff going on in college athletics.
No doubt. So on the Tennessee front with quarterback moving forward, I just looked at Sparks' video that he put out there. Basically, Aguilar needs an average of a little bit over 270 yards a game over the next four games to break Peyton Manning's single-season passing record, which is definitely, it's attainable when you look at
Manning.
What they've got. So we'll see if he can do that or not. I mean, that's what I say. You could go, if he played the whole game on Saturday, he could go a long way toward
Just go ahead and get it.
Just go ahead and wrap it up. I don't think he's going to do that, but
that's about 1,080 yards or something. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Just
1,100 yards.
Have at it. But Tennessee at this point, best case scenario, 9-3, looking at a pretty good bowl game. And if they get to 9-3, that will have probably involved knocking out your in-state rivals' chances to make the college football playoff at that point too. So we'll see what all happens on that front. But as I've said, you look at their roster and who's coming back, they got a chance to be pretty good next year. And you can make the argument, and I don't know that they'll do this, you can make the argument that, you could try to put it between a true freshman and a redshirt freshman at quarterback if you want to. Like, you could go that route. Or you could be really aggressive in the portal and try to go get a quarterback if you're Tennessee. Like, I am in today's landscape of college football, and I told you this about Vanderbilt. Like, Vanderbilt obviously is trying really hard to recruit quarterbacks. I mean, Jared Curtis, they're putting the blitz on for. They've already got a quarterback recruit that they feel pretty good about moving forward here too. But I am interested this year when Poppy is gone, do they just roll with young guys, or do they look around the country and say, yep, let's bring in somebody else that's played football at a pretty high level and bring him into this offense? I wonder if you're hypo, like if you're looking at the roster next year with how good you could potentially be, if you're like, yeah, I just don't know if I can leave this in the hands of a freshman quarterback, a redshirt freshman quarterback, and a true freshman quarterback. Let's go get a guy. I don't know. I'm really interested to see how he handles that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And, you know, we're going to have Blake Tottmeyer on later. And, of course, he is the one who was introduced. And, again, I don't totally agree with him. And we actually were texting about it a little bit yesterday. I mean, he is looking at next year like this could be a hot seat year, you know, if they don't make the playoff next year. I would argue that there's a little bit more leeway there for Heupel. But you have this year, you don't make the playoff. Again, relative to expectations, this year's been pretty good. But it's still, you know, fans who were cheering you on when Nico left, it's a little different if you don't make it and you have the disappointments. And so then, yeah, are you signing up for 8-4 maybe to set yourself up with that young quarterback to really, you know, the next year to be good? But is it? In college football today, if you're a program like this and your coach in his situation, can you afford to do that? I mean, it's – and then the next question is, who are you going to go get and, like, how good are they? I mean, Aguilar has been pretty amazing to me that he's come in and done what he's done. It seems to me like he specifically fits this offense really well with his skill set, and not all quarterbacks necessarily would. But then you – are you going out there – you know, you're going to have to spend, obviously. It's just like free agency in the NFL. If they're out on the market, I mean, there's a lot of competition for these top guys. Are you going to take money away from other parts of your roster to go do that when you have these young options? I mean, it's
Adidas.
Got Adidas money. Get that Adidas money in there. That's right. That's right. No, I mean, it's, you know, Alabama is an example. I'm working on a story on, like, The Simpsons and you know, now it's different because he's not young. But Alabama, you know, Jalen Milroe leaves last year. And, I mean, if they were going to go out and do that, well, then Ty Simpson would be somewhere else right now. And they said they basically signed up for the unknown. I say the unknown. He'd been playing. He'd been in scrimmages. They saw him practice. Obviously, you can watch the guy play. It's like, I bet you he was pretty good in the scrimmages and practices, right? But still, you don't always know that. There's some great practice players who don't perform in games. So, they kind of threw – again, it's different because he's been there a long time. But it's still kind of signing up for the unknown and saying, we're going to roll with this, and we're not going to go out there because I know if we go out there, you're leaving. That's what's going to happen. I mean, if Heupel goes out and gets somebody, is McIntyre – okay, bye.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know. I mean, one of them very well could. So, I mean, shoot. The reality is – one of them wins the job. I mean, especially if Brandon comes as a true freshman, wins the job, it could be the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, see ya.
It probably will be the same.
But that's where at least you need to be in the portal for a veteran who's at least okay being your backup.
Well, and with the portal now being what it is, where it's the one-time portal, I don't know if you've got to worry about that if you're Heupel this next season, right? Like, it's going to be a competition. I doubt very seriously they're going to know who the starting quarterback is. By the time this transfer, like if they don't try to go get somebody, they're not going to know in January if the starting quarterback's going to be Faison Brandon or George
right.
McIntyre.
Yeah, no.
So then, I mean, by that time, I mean, you're not leaving in August. So you would at least have those two for this year, and then you'd have to make a decision.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be really
your quarterback's not leaving in April again, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so I mean, but it's still a very difficult dilemma. Yeah, it's a lot easier if I mean, look, we heard some good things about McIntyre in August. It's a lot easier if like that's continuing, you know, because then I think you would hope that the true freshman would you know, be willing to sit a little bit. Again, look around college. Look at Ty Simpson. Here you go. Sat, did nothing. Milroe for 2 years. I mean, it's his fourth. He already has his degree at Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, he might be the number one pick and Heisman winner. I mean, it stinks to wait that long, but you know what? It's worked out okay for him. That's the thing. Can you wait around? You're getting paid well.
Yeah.
Are you okay waiting a couple years to play? You know, if you're that level of recruit.
Some people are. Yeah. Some people are not.
I mean, Ohio State usually has – they've been having this kind of like guy who sits for a year or two, yep. You know. And that could be. Again, if McIntyre's that good, well, then you may only have to sit two years.
That's the problem. Like, it feels like if you're Heupel, you're going to eventually have to end up picking one because you're talking about a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. It'd be different if it was, you know, a junior.
But that's the thing. You have to immediately pick one. You might change.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you had to immediately pick one, and then you're probably, at the end of that year, you're going to lose the other one. Like, that's probably the way it's going to end up playing out. And, you know, I guess it's a good problem to have because you're theoretically picking between two pretty good quarterbacks. I know Tennessee fans, on the one hand, like, they love George McIntyre because he's from here. On the other hand, they're like, well, the other kid's the number one recruit in America, so probably pick that guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Look, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched George McIntyre and Faison Brandon play a ton of football. I have no idea how that's going to go out. Look, maybe the best – maybe Heupel looks at it, who obviously has watched them both play a lot, and looks at it and says, yeah, I'm not touching a quarterback in the portal because I know both these guys are really good. I don't know how he views this. I just know that their roster right now has a chance to be pretty good next year, and quarterback is going to be the big question mark.
Yeah, and in either case, you're so young. At the most important position. And I just it's hard for me to, like, as we talk it through, believe that he's actually going to go out there and, like, try to pay $3 million for, like, someone to just come in and start over both of them, you know?
Arch. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 will join us coming up next. He is with the Predators in Sweden. We'll get his thoughts on what is going on with the local professional hockey team. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. And we head now to a place on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, where it is not morning, and that is Stockholm, Sweden. And we welcome in our friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Steve, good morning. How is Sweden treating you?
Good afternoon, guys. How are we? It is great. At the moment, we still have lights for about 2 more hours, so that is a positive thing. It is raining and a bit chilly, but it is lovely over here. People are amazing. It's historic. It's beautiful. So this is really a kind of a pinch yourself type of moment to be covering the National Hockey League over here.
So we're talking like what, 3:30, 4 o'clock when the sun goes down over there?
Oh, it is pitch black at 4 o'clock. So yeah, we're talking sunset around 3:30. I think we're actually earlier than that now as the week goes along. We're going to be at 3:20 by Sunday. So yeah, we're getting there. But just imagine, it gets much worse than that. I'm told when you get to December and truly the shortest day of the year, it's like 8:45-ish sunrise. And then sundown by 2:20, 2:25 in the afternoon. So we're not quite there yet. The sun came up this morning about 7:35. We'll go down maybe 3:25 this afternoon. So I'll just put this out there. For all those complaining that we switch back to standard time stateside, just feel really, really bad for the Swedes because they've got it rough in that regard.
Man, I guess I didn't realize it was that north.
It's pretty north, man.
Should look at a globe sometime.
It's pretty north. There's no doubt.
Way up there.
So, Steve, on the one hand, like you said, I mean, they're taking part in a really cool event. You're in Sweden. Philip Forsberg, Adam Willsby are back at home. I saw you hanging out with Adam Willsby and kind of going through the tour of Sweden at that point. So a lot of really fun stuff that they're doing over there. And on the other hand right now, Steve, they can't win a hockey game. I mean, they are really struggling at the moment. So what's been kind of your assessment on the kind of the vibes around the Predators and how things are going right now?
I'm going to say that this trip comes at the perfect time because there's no other option for them at the moment. I think what you saw is a team that, as you guys know and have talked about a lot, you got a flawed hockey team coming into the season. This is not the best team in the league on paper by any means, but I think they were also a victim here recently of a brutal schedule. In order to accommodate coming to Sweden and later in the year, a Olympic stoppage, you had to cram a bunch of games. So they played 10 games in 16 days, culminated by the loss in New York on Monday night against the Rangers. And I think what you saw over the last week was a team that was frankly just tired. There's two home games. They had leads in the second period. They got off to okay starts, and then they just had no ability to close or finish out those games. I think you were looking at a tired team. Even the Penguins, who didn't have quite as truncated of a schedule but have played a lot of games themselves, they have limped into Stockholm as well, despite a hotter start to the season. And so I think a schedule plays a role here, as does not having your captain in Roman Josi. But I think from the Predators' standpoint, you come over here, you get a day off, you get a full practice, which they had yesterday, and then you play these two games on a different stage, maybe have a little extra juice with Philip being home and Adam being home and all that. And who knows, maybe you get 3 points, maybe you get 4 points out of this, and it can kind of galvanize your team and give you a little bit of a jump start for a part of the schedule that will be a little bit more friendly when you get back home.
Do you think if it doesn't go well, Steve, that that we're on a higher level of Andrew Brunette watch at that point?
Well, I am on the trip with the team, so I'm not as sure I'm allowed to say that, or I might be looking for my own travel home.
Nice.
But obviously, I think we all know that the watch is on to some degree. Now, whether it could happen soon here in the next several weeks or mid-season or at the end of the year, I don't know about the timing of that. But clearly, this was a team that was expected to do much more last year. Everyone was disappointed about that. And you say, okay, give them another year, give Andrew Brunette another year, and let's see how they start and if they can right the ship next season. And at least to this point, about a third or just past the quarter pull through, they haven't done that. And so at some point, you got to think that there would be changes made, at the very least with the roster, when you start looking towards the trade deadline. And so the timing is hard to figure. But yes, if they keep losing, it keeps going in the wrong direction. Changes are going to come, and the easiest change to make at this point would be with the head coach.
So, Steve, I remember when they went to Switzerland a couple years ago for the preseason game, and Roman Josi was just an absolute rock star over there. And I know it's a little bit different in Sweden because, frankly, they just have more options. Like, there are more really good players that come from Sweden. But have you been able to get a sense for, like, the star power of Forsberg in particular over there?
No question. He is a rock star when you come over here. I think we all know by now that Phil and Aaron Forsberg were on Scandinavian Vogue this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And so they love him over here at a charity game that was completely sold out back in his hometown of Leksand. And you just walk around Stockholm and you will see Forsberg jerseys, both of the Preds kind and of Trey Kronar, the Swedish national team. And so you just have people who love him. I talked to Jonathan Lindqvist, who is the Viaplay, the Swedish hockey reporter and analyst, and he said, look, Forsberg is at the top of the list of Swedish stars right now because he's got a spectacular flair to his game. He's a good player, but he's got kind of that YouTube quality that most Swedes don't have. They're known for more being kind of a reliable, steady type of player. And Forsberg brings the spectacular, which has made him very popular, especially with the younger generation. And so when he walks around here, he's mobbed. He came in and immediately did a media session on Tuesday. And then yesterday, the Predators media day at the Global Series, he was back out at the podium along with Andrew Brunette to do questions in English and then questions in Swedish. So he is absolutely the biggest star in this game from a Sweden perspective, and they're treating him like that. And, oh, by the way, he's also playing host this week because he's treating the guys to a whole bunch of great dinners and activities and things like that. So he's part guest of honor, part host being home this week.
I mean, I did, at some point I had to ask you, like, what's the best meal you've had over there? I mean, it's got to be better than just, like, Swedish meatballs, right?
Well,
or maybe not.
I will say this, as someone who has spent a lot of time in Wisconsin and Minnesota that has a lot of that Viking Nordic influence and have had Swedish meatballs a lot in my life, they are way better here, authentically made. And so that actually was a delicious meal. So it's way, way up there. But my favorite thing so far over here is one of their most beloved rituals and traditions is called Fika, F-I-K-A. And it's actually, you'll appreciate this, Joe, it's actually a noun and a verb. It's the practice of stepping away from what you're doing and taking a break sometime in the middle of the day. You know, you're tired of work, you just get away, you have a fika.
Amen.
And it's also the practice of enjoying some caffeine, maybe a shot of espresso or a cup of coffee, and a cannelle boule or a cinnamon bun as you sit down and do that. So I am all for this. Whenever you're tired during the day, just take a break, have a coffee and a cinnamon bun or a cinnamon roll, and you get the energy right back and you're ready to go. So that is one tradition I'm really trying to put my foot down and say we need to bring back to the States with us.
Fika, yeah.
Yeah, probably a little bit more tired over there when the sun's going down at lunchtime too. So good thing to keep in mind on that front. Yeah. Steve, you were with the team in New York as well, and Matt Wood picks up his first NHL hat trick. I said it the other day. If you're looking for things to be excited about right now, if you're a Predators fan, I mean, he's probably at the top of the list, being 20 years old and a first-round pick and the way that he's playing. So what do you make of kind of the immediate impact that Matt Wood has had stepping into their lineup?
I love it. Obviously, the hat trick the other night, now 6 goals in his last 7 games. That's what you're hoping for when you look at these guys who are young, who are kind of the next wave of what the Predators are going to be. And the ultimate vision, right, for what this roster is right now is that the superstars that are later in their careers perform and lead the team and lead by example, and the young guys like a Matthew Wood come into their own and become the reinforcements and build your depth and give you extra scoring. Wood looks like he's ready to play that part. He played a great game the other night, and he just seemingly has a confidence. It's a humble confidence. It's a quiet confidence, but he seems to feel like he belongs up here right now, just trying to play a role, not trying to be a star. And within that role, opportunities are coming, and right now he's making the most of it.
Steve Lehman over there in Sweden covering things for News Channel 5. Steve, really kind with your time. Appreciate you making the international radio visit with us today, and have fun over there, man. We'll see you when you get back.
Talk soon, EK, guys. I appreciate it.
Nice.
Love the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Steve Lehman,
thanks,
our guest here on the program. Predators are in Sweden. They're taking on Pittsburgh tomorrow and on Sunday as well. So a couple of games coming up between the Predators and the Penguins, a rematch of the 2017 Stanley Cup Final. And guys like Crosby and Malkin still playing and playing at a high level for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Forsberg,
still there.
Saros,
still there.
No Yossi.
Yossi not going to play. So not a whole lot of guys left on either side from that matchup that at this point was 8 years ago.
Yeah, wow. Depressing.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week now on Robbie and Rex Road
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
You know, I kind of hate to do this to you, but it's just my only outlet for basketball. So my best is college basketball. It's been fantastic already. Again, I feel bad for you if you didn't watch the St. John's Alabama game. I know that may not be the first thing that comes to your mind. You know, it's not Duke Carolina, but St. John's Alabama at the Garden was incredible. We've already had a bunch of great games. I mean, we've already had Louisville, Kentucky.
That was a good game. I did see that.
Yeah, which I didn't get to see, you know.
Tennessee, Northern Kentucky was good.
Yeah.
Vandy's off to a good start.
Vandy's off to a good start. Now, the Vanderbilt coaches both.
Trying to get people to show up to the building.
Yep, which I get. I also would say, You know, it is important. Like you want to schedule attractive games. I know it's easier said than done, but I mean, I think you got to try to just sprinkle some of those in. The SEC is loaded, so you know your schedule strength is going to be fine. But I mean, that is a way to help that is to have games in your gym where people are excited about watching that opponent. You know, so but it's been a tremendous start. And I'll also tack on that, you know, Steph Curry put 46 on the Spurs in a big road win for the Dubs last night. So, you know, throw that in there too. Just my little basketball best in sports. Basketball is always the best in sports.
Is it?
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, it's the best sport. Worst in sports, it's a broken record, but like, I'm still sitting here. I'm still. Having paid you $82, I still don't have any damn ESPN on my TV. But thanks for the $20 rebate. You know, YouTube TV does a great job every month of just taking my money. I mean, they don't have to do anything extra. They don't need to, like, ask me for permission. They just take my money. Auto pay setup. But thanks for the $20 rebate in which I have to like jump through a bunch of hoops and like you know give a blood sample show my passport, you freaking goons.
That was my favorite part of the whole thing. It's like, well, we could you know just give everyone a $20 credit, but why would we want to do that? Let's make you go claim it.
Yeah, a lot
of hopefully people will forget to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought they were making progress.
A lot of you will. Oh, great.
I read on your website.
Where? Okay. Yeah, I know. I read it too. I mean,
Rex Road reporting that they're making progress, and then nothing.
Andrew Marchand's all over it. But again, like no one wants to hear anything else. But
the deal's done.
Yeah, this is complete garbage. And again, most of these, as we all know, you know, it's like, watch out, everybody. We got a dispute, and it's like 3 days later, it gets taken care of, and you avoid. But this one
is lingering a lot longer than I anticipated.
I thought it had been over well before this.
It's insanity. And by the way, I should have had this ready, but the numbers for everything for ESPN have taken a notable dip, by the way, since this happened. Game day, in the big down, you know, 2.7 million down to 2. The ABC college football windows, they're in the 7s, 8s, 9s. Now they're in the 4s and 5s. Gee, I wonder why, you morons.
Just crazy the way that it's played out.
Yeah.
Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, my best, I think I'm going with Cam Coleman, Auburn wide receiver, including the catch.
He's pretty good.
I mean, that catch was – I was up there. The one-handed.
It was really good.
Lefty, tap it to yourself. And then the following play to go righty one-handed for the two-point conversion back-to-back against a good player. So, I don't know. That was impressive. He looked pretty good to me. Worst, Nashville SC. What a dud.
Yeah.
They looked good in game two. Game three, down in Miami. Messi comes out right from the start. It was over.
Got messied.
Sure. It got messied quick. Yeah.
Looks like Walker Zimmerman going to be a free agent now, so some of the early guys are starting to move on.
So, you know, Surge did not show up in the postseason, really. You know, that, I don't know, Falcone or something like that for Miami kind of got in his head and shut him down. And Mukhtar was okay, but overall, disappointing end to the season there.
No doubt. A team around here that was actually doing some winning that did not. When it mattered the most.
Still better than the Titans and the Preds.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. My best thing in sports, you know, there have been a lot of news over the last couple of years about gambling in sports and how, for some reason, it continues to be a problem. No matter how many, like, guardrails and warnings and examples people make, you know, the latest thing in the NBA, big problem with all that stuff going on. So Mahomes was asked about that this week, about sports betting. And his response, I think, is just a very good one. You know, I know people hate the Chiefs. I've always said Patrick Mahomes, pretty likable dude. This is what he said. He said, quote, "You know, I just stay away from it. I don't want to put myself in that position. Your life is so great. Why mess with it?" I think that's probably some good advice that people should take if you're in the National Football League, the NHL, the NBA, especially if you're one of these like highly, highly paid guys. I would not be messing around too much with sports betting. And I think some good perspective there from Patrick Mahomes.
No doubt. I mean, that may not be true of, like, you know, in college, it's been a lot of like, you know, like Northwestern, New Mexico State, Tech.
Yeah.
You know, like out of nowhere. Here, let's do some player props. You know, so it's a little different than like these guys who are millionaires. But yeah, that's great advice for those people. And then, yeah, you hope at some point people kind of look around and say, gee, maybe this
we're
is dumb.
We're probably not going to get away from this.
Yeah.
So let's just stop doing it. My worst thing in sports, Matt LaFleur. He sucks, and I can't wait to ask Charles Robinson whether or not he's going to get fired by the Green Bay Packers coming up at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to it.
I did. I was listening the other day to Jake and Parker, and they immediately were like, he's getting fired. I'm like, I knew. And they're like, oh, Robbie Stanley has texted in. But
this is a lot more real than people want to believe.
Even if they made the playoffs but lost in the first round?
Yes.
I mean, I think
it's at least going to be on the table.
Yeah, and I don't.
Missing the playoffs, maybe I guess I could entertain it. But to make the playoffs?
I mean, they
make the playoffs all the time.
They just, yeah, they make the playoffs all the time. He's been there forever. They just got Micah Parsons. Everybody's like, they're going to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. I mean, expectations are very high.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. You know, very rarely does Jake Lyman have a take where I'm like, oh, what? But I'm like, oh, yeah, man, don't dismiss that.
No, it is.
It's real, getting, and you're so
real,
excited about
he's
it.
He's getting asked about it every which way in the press conference right now, which is very interesting. So we'll see how that goes. See if they can beat Jameis Winston on Sunday. Nate says, best thing in sports, you get to see what hockey is like in Sweden. The worst thing in sports, you get to see Preds hockey in Sweden.
Nice.
Taking a shot there with the Nashville Predators. Somebody has a problem with you saying basketball is the best sport. One texter says the best.
You have a different opinion than me? Oh, my goodness.
Tyler Shuck. Shuck him down and pass it around. Looked pretty good. Used to be the worst. Tyler Shuck did play well on Sunday.
Yeah.
The worst is the Cleveland Guardians pitchers. I did not see what happened with the Cleveland Guardians.
Oh, that was
Guardians
the betting.
Pitchers.
That was the betting thing.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like legit. Tipping pitches like
well, I saw
in the middle
all this
of the
stuff
game
with
or whatever it
yesterday,
was.
So I wondered if something else happened with you. But yeah, I got you now. All good.
By the way, you know that your Packers aren't just taking on Jameis Winston.
Yeah, it's
right?
Tim Kelly and Shane Bowen are the two coordinators. I swear.
No, not Tim Kelly.
I thought
it was Todd Downing.
No, it's Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly's
Tim Kelly. Okay.
Yeah. Downing's with
Downing's
Grapes. Okay, that's not as fun.
Don't say Mike Vrabel on the show.
That's not as fun if it was not Downing. Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah,
but that's still
because Downing
still
did beat the Packers pretty good once.
He did
when he was here.
He did
and celebrated
a lot of celebration
well
taking on
after
that too.
Yeah.
William from Madison says the best is Diego Pavia, and the worst is all the people who said Vanderbilt is their second favorite team that are now openly rooting against them. Has that happened? Is that a widespread thing?
So
I don't think so.
Would that be like Tennessee fans who were like, yeah, I'd like to see them do well, and now they hate them? Is that what he's saying?
I don't know. Like, I would imagine most Tennessee fans don't really want to see them do well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we have there are some. Like, isn't Chase a Tennessee fan? And he's
– I mean, I've always thought Chase was a Vanderbilt
he's
fan.
He's a Vandy fan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so never mind then. I've heard some Tennessee fans who are like, yeah, you know, I'd like to – like, who live around here. I'd like them to do well.
There's one or two here. I think Parker, he's a Tennessee fan, but he also said if Vandy ends up 10-2 and doesn't make the playoff, not cool.
Yeah.
So there is, like, a combo there.
Okay.
But at some point, if the rival that you could pat on the head and just beat whenever you want gets good, then they get annoying, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the Vanderbilt's there yet, but – well, if they make the college football playoff this year and Tennessee doesn't, that'll spice it up.
Yes.
That will spice it up.
You would think so. Yeah.
And particularly, that would require Vanderbilt going into Neyland and beating them, which would also spice it up. And I imagine if they do that, you're probably going to hear some talk from the quarterback over there, too, would be my guess.
Yes, you will.
I bet Pavia will not be silent.
And by the way, I mentioned I went on Russell Smith's show yesterday. He said that if Vanderbilt wins that game, it will be post-apocalyptic in Knoxville.
Yeah,
so there you go.
We'll see. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ian Safar, very much looking forward to it coming up here in a few weeks. Very much looking forward
very
to
much
it.
So.
A development yesterday as it relates to the Tennessee Titans that I think is a pretty bad sign of the times. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.